A very good morning, ladies and gentlemen and others. There's always those who are confused. We don't want to be discriminatory. So good morning, ladies and gentlemen and others. Welcome to Eagle FM. It's a Friday. Thank goodness it's a Friday. Friday's always having some, you know, different vibes, but normally quieter. And now that's the holiday, it's probably more quieter and quieter. So good morning to you, wherever you are in this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful land of the brave. Thanks for joining us this morning. And wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whether you're on the road traveling, going for holiday, or whether you have arrived already to your destination and you are, you know, you're having a good times, or like what Uncle Buena said, you actually get to work again. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, good morning and welcome to Eagle FM. Thank you, David, for early morning scoop and the, and those who came before you. Good morning and welcome. Today is Friday. It's Friday. Is the 19th of December, 2025. So thanks for joining us. And it's always a pleasure for us to be in your company. So my name is Mike Oshovedi, and this is Unpacking the Day. So, and this is your daily dose of what is really going on in business or in economics and politics. So every weekday, we cut through this noise. We cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear and always asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. This is your space. I think this is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So welcome. My time is about 3 minutes past the hour of 8. I will be with you until 10 o'clock, and we will be handing over to Tate Franz, who will be coming with Kutha Mosha. So, now welcome, thanks for joining us. So, as usual, if this is your first time, we start with our segment on this day in Africa. We're looking at what happened, you know, on this day in Africa. So let's take a look at some key moments in African history on the 19th of December. So, well, on the 19th of December in 1956, that was the start of treason trial in South Africa, where Nelson Mandela and 151 other appeared in court for the first time in the treason trial. The trial lasted 4.5 years before all of the accused were found not guilty in 1961. So, and let's move to West Africa. To East Africa. Uganda is in East Africa. So, the Ugandan president, Milton Obote, survived an assassination attempt while leading a political convention at Lugogo Stadium in Kampala. He was actually wounded in the jaw, but survived when a grenade thrown at him failed to explode. So, yes, that's Ugandan President Milton Obote, who survived that assassination in 1969. So, and in Zanzibar, in so on 19th December 1963, Zanzibar obtained independence from British colonial rule and became a constitutional monarch. So, however, in January 1964, revolution soon overthrew the sultanate, and led to union with Tanzania to form. Led to union with Tanganyika to form Tanzania late that year. So, and this date mark also the formal end of President Joseph Kabila's second term in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Now, protests erupted across major cities, and as Kabila refused to step down, so leading to a massive security deployment and over 100 arrests. Well, that's your history roundup for today on this day in Africa. So, and if you're joining us, good morning to you, and welcome to your favorite talk radio station, Eagle FM. So, our today, the thought of the day, our thought for the day today is living well. Listen here, this is word of wisdom. Living well is the best revenge. Living well is the best revenge. Okay? Now, the proverb means that the most powerful and satisfying way to respond to being wronged by somebody is not through attack or bitterness, but by focusing on your own happiness, success, and well-being. Now, instead of seeking to harm or retaliate against the person who hurt you, you improve your own life and thrive. Now, in doing so, you rise above the negativity and show that their hateful action did not diminish you. So the proverb suggests that investing energy into improving your life, emotionally or professionally or socially, whatever, is far more constructive than trying to get back at someone, you know? So in essence, the proverb encouraged turning adversity into personal resilience and fulfillment, rather than clinching to, you know, clinging to anger. So that's why I said this our word of wisdom: living well is the best revenge. So whatever you do today, and a decision that you're making, make sure that it's actually for you, eh? It's actually focusing on your own happiness, success, and well-being, because that's the best way to revenge. So that's our thought for the day, and good morning to you. So welcome to this episode of Unpacking the Day, and I'm Mike Oshoveli. So what do we expect today? What we have for you today in the show is, you know, if you look around the daily newspapers, it shows there's headlines about, you know, NamWater debt increased to 2.8 billion, 2.8 billion, and NamPower warned water security is at risk. So we're gonna look into that. We're going to look into that, because there's a pattern. We were talking about electricities, and who are actually the culprit of this debt. So, and we're going to look at that, and maybe, you know, we see some kind of a pattern that need to be really discussed. And this has to become a national conversation. You know, 2.8 billion debt of to NamWater. So that's what we're going to look at. And the African Development Bank group, the approved about 30.3 billion. It's 1.78 billion US dollar, you know. So for Namibia. So they have approved 30 Namibian dollar, 30.3 billion Namibian dollars for Namibia. So we going to look at what this money for, what is actually earmarked for, and get into, you know, and get into a little bit deeper in what, you know, how the government will definitely how the government will actually spend this money. So we're going to look at that, and your participation will also be part of the show. Make sure that you unpacking this with me. And if we still have time, by 9 o'clock, we will follow up with somebody. We will have someone that we will, you know, try to get at 9. So let's also watch out that, if that possible. So yeah, that's, as you can see, there's so much that you can expect. So on this Friday, on this episode of unpacking the day. So good morning to you and welcome. So we'll be back after this.
Omutiha utekirwa kabuna e matina omjo chikawa shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyawo ota ingongotisa mwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika seitha nina omayakuro nilanditomwa yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Ikelefe Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi paregi uimepo yomo programa letu moambo dengira selma konaraje tatuimu datu ndatu heari jamano tano oneaj Ikelefe so hai.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
No. Yes, welcome back. Welcome back. And please do follow Eagle FM and the villagers. The villager has closed for holiday, and it would definitely be back early January. So, do follow Eagle FM and the villager on our social media platform, on X, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, on Telegram, on WhatsApp channels. So, and engage with us. There's still a lot is going on there. So engage with us on these social medias platform, and make sure you leave a like or you leave a comment, so that would be appreciated. So yeah, good morning. So welcome to Unpacking the Day, where we dive into the stories. Here is where we dive into the stories that matter to you. So I'm your host, Michael Shavedi, and today we are talking about an issue that is quite literally the lifeblood of our nation. Water security, that is quite, as I said, quite literally lifeblood of our nation. So after this quick commercial, we will get into it. Stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
No matter where you are.
All right. Good morning, and welcome back. Welcome back. Yeah. So I love that part. Yeah. So we are looking at, good morning and come back. Welcome back. So We are looking at NamWater debt increase to 2.8 billion. And as I said, you know, this is an issue that is quite literally the lifeblood of our nations. And let's get into it. Okay. So, you know, we all had that moment. Eh? We all had that moment. You get a bill. maybe it's a bit higher than expected and think, I will deal with this next month. You know, it's a common household problem. So, but what happened, you know, what happened when that logic is applied now on a national scale, when the very entity responsible for making sure water flows into our town, into our cities, and into our farms, into our home, it's the one that is drowning in debt. That is the stark reality facing NamWater right now. That's actually the problem, the reality that is facing NamWater as we speak. The new report reveals that the money owed to our national water utility has actually ballooned, has increased to a shocking 2.8 billion Namibian dollar. And it's growing. And it's growing fast. So it doesn't seem there's any plan or strategy, you know, to slow it down. It doesn't seem that there's any plan to slow it down. It's growing. Now, this means that if we're not careful, millions of Namibia who rely on water for clean, reliable water could soon actually face higher, bigger challenges in the future. And that is a truth. That's a fact. So now, let's break it down for you. Let me break it down for you. So why is this debt, maybe what we need to look at, why is this debt such a big problem? Okay? It's something that we need to look, as a nation, really. Sometime we read this. How many? You probably have read it in a paper. And it's you scheme. You scheme on it. You know, you read it, and then, you know, in a second or two seconds, you actually forget what you have read. You didn't even pay attention to that. Now, why is this debt such a big problem? So we're going to discuss this. Why is such a big problem? And you could be the problem as well. So why is this such a big problem? Who is behind unpaid bills? Is there something that you are concerned about? Because as I said, you know, at one point, this could become a bigger problem, could become a bigger challenge in the future. Now, in the future, you might just realize, well, at this point, your town never actually go without water. But at one point, you might realize, but you never did anything. When you just read it there, you kind of like, you know, you never paid attention to it. And most importantly, what is the impact of this? What is the impact this on you and your family and economic growth of our country? This is very important. So now I want you to stick around because we're really going to get into this right here on Unpacking the Day. Now, this 2.8 billion is money that NamWater has not received for water, the water that they have actually supplied. Okay, 2.8 billion is the money that NamWater didn't receive. They haven't received that. You remember when we were talking, it was yesterday, we're looking at how much of electricity that was owed to NamPower. And that amount, it's a billion, it's 1 point something billion, 1.3 or something like that. I can't remember on top of my head. 1 point something a billion owed to NAM, you know, to NAM Power. And the culprit, and I said, that's almost a billion, okay? That's almost a billion is actually enough money actually to build a power station. Eh? It's a power station. It's almost enough to build actual power stations. That would actually then maybe reduces the, you know, the prices of electricity. Eh? Or even maybe the amount of electricity that we import from outside. So you understand? So we somehow are responsible for our own mind, for our own demise. You understand? And when you have a question, you have a question. Eh? You have a question. And this is exactly what we are. Eh? So, as I said, this amount, 2.8, and that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. 2.8 billion. This is the water that NAM Water has already supplied, and the money hasn't come in. So they have done the work. They pumped the water, they treated it, and they sent it on its way. But the payment has not come back, has not come in. Now, and who owes this money? Who owes this money? The biggest culprit. The biggest culprit by far are our town councils. They're our town councils. They owe nearly a billion again, Namibian dollar collectively. So yesterday we were talking about the one in the south. Now we're talking now town council collectively here in the whole country. So they owe a billion Namibian dollar. And that money from that's money from you and my water payment to the local council that for whatever reasons hasn't been passed on to NAM Water. It really, I'm seriously, you as a citizen now. Now let's pause for a little bit. Let's pause for a moment. And when you really hear about that 2.8 billion, you know, how do you feel about that? How do you just, I'm just trying to really see. Do you just say, that's a problem in NAM Water? Or do you see as that your problem, as that a problem that would affect you? So I'm not campaigning for NAM Water here. So I may sound like I'm actually talking for NAM Water, but this is about water security. You know? So now that's, I'm just trying to get to you. I'm really trying to get to you. And I think maybe doing this is something that give me time to think really how serious this is. Yeah. And do you know who is following them? The first culprit, the top culprit is town councils. You know, following them are rural water communities. And then you have the private consumers. Then you have, surprisingly, the mining sector, whose debt has shot up by over 50% in just 9 months. What is going on? What is going on? Okay. Now, according to NAM Water, let's get into the numbers. You know, I told you I love numbers, all right? Even if I wasn't good at math. All right. I love numbers. Number talks. The numbers talk, okay? So according to NAM Water, the town council are the biggest offenders. their biggest offenders. Now, we need to ask, and maybe we're going to look at that. Why? Why our town councils, oh my, and we know that from the Auditor General, they never get their things right. They never get much of their things right. Let's put it that way. You know, financial management, financial discipline. Eh? So, according to Namwota, town councils are the biggest offenders. Eh? They owe. Just hold a minute. Just hold a minute. There's something that I don't want you to hear. Okay, you can hear me, but other things you shouldn't. All right. Now, they owe over 926.6.9 million. That's almost a billion. And these arrears have grown by 150 million since February alone. Now, these are the local authorities responsible now for water in your community. And it seems that they are struggling to pay their bills. What is going on? Maybe you tell me when I will open up lines later, but tell me what is going on. Because it's affecting, you know, the stories of Rundu. The Rundu is not the only one, but we talk about it because it was in the paper, you know. Then we have got rural water communities who owes a massive of 783 million. You might be thinking, okay, but why are these debts piling up? Why are they piling up? That's exactly the question. The truth is, sometimes, the other thing is also you have to look at, many of these areas are underfunded also. They are underfunded. Some of these are underfunded. And in some cases, water service just aren't as reliable as they should be, leaving now community in the wobble. So, and then you have the private consumers. That's you now. That's you and me. And you know, and regular household like yours and mine are also part of the problem. We are also part of the problem, owing 342.5 million. So we are part of the problem as well. So, but interestingly, the mining sector has seen the sharpest rise in arrears, with their debt actually climbing to 53% since February. And that's a huge spike. That's a huge increase. Now, considering now the mining sector's is financial power, they have the financial power. So what is going on? What is happening? And now here's the critical part. Here's the critical part. Now, what is not a typical business, okay? It is business, but it's not a typical business. It is a public utility. So its entire operational budget, the money it uses now to pay for, let's say, for example, electricity, to run the pumps, to buy chemicals, to purify your water, to pay its technicians, and almost all of this come from where? Come from the sale of water. It comes from the sale of water. And no payment means no budget. And it's that simple. It's that simple. Yeah? It is that simple. So, and we're going to follow up on that after this commercial quickly.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. We're looking at the the $2.8 billion debt to NamWater, and we're looking at who are the culprit. You are actually, and we found that you are actually the culprit. Yeah, town councils, as usual, they are the culprit. They are the biggest culprit. Now let's. You remember after the. No, I was just saying that. I was just looking at that. You know, one thing that we need to looking at is that that the entire operational budget for NamWater actually come from the money from the come from the sale of water. You know, so the money that they use is now to pay electricity that run the pumps and buying the chemicals to purify your waters and all that. So it all comes from the sale of water. So, and what it means is that if there's no payments, yeah, that's logical. If there's no payment, actually there's no budget. Yeah, there's no budget. And remember, after COVID, they haven't even increased tariff in 5 years. Was it? Yeah, in 5 years. Which sounds like a good thing for us as a consumer. I think that's a good thing, isn't it? But imagine the cost of everything. Imagine the cost of everything, cost of fuel, cost of electricity, equipment, you know, going up for 5 years while your income stays exactly the same. Do you understand that? So now I want you to think broader. In terms of this, so your budget would be crushed. It would be crushed. Just your personal budget when all the things, bread and everything, all the things actually increased and your salary remained the same. That is the squeeze NamWater is in. That's the squeeze that NamWater is in. So what are the consequences of this? What are really the consequences? This is where I think it gets real for every single one of us. Let's get real for you, really. So now, this debt cripples NamWater's ability to do what? To do two things, okay? So it cripples NamWater to do, it cripples the ability now to do two things, two vital things. To maintain what we have, and also to build for the future. Okay, first, let's talk about maintenance. Our water infrastructure, the pipes, the treatment plants, the pumps, this infrastructure are aging. We have heard this already. These are aging, and we, as I said, we have a typical example. It's not the only example. We're just giving that example of the town of Rundu, you know? So where it's not functioning anymore because it's aging. If a major pipe burst, for example, it would be a crisis. It would be a crisis. So without new funds, and I think I want you to understand that, as a citizen, you know, without new funds, because we are also responsible. Without the funds to properly now maintain and repair this network, we are one major failure away from, you know, from the dry taps in the entire town as we have experienced in Rundu. And this is, it sounds like this is a scare tactic. I'm kind of trying like scare tactics. This is not scare tactics, seriously. So it's a basic cause and effect. Right? It's a basic cause and effect. So we have an example. I mean, you probably have experiencing in your own town already. Yeah? Let's not just focus on Rundu. You probably have experiencing this in your own town. I do. Yeah? There are some time over the whole weekend where, you know, where we don't have water. And that's just a start. It's just a start. And then it comes like, you know, when you go back, you're looking at, you know, 10 years ago, even maybe some years ago, where you never actually experienced that. And slowly by slowly, you start to experience that. You understand? And you can, it's becoming more frequent. That tells you that, you know, it's not getting better, it's actually getting worse. Now, and that comes to the second thing. The second is development. As I said, there are two vital things that this debt, it crippled Namwata's ability to do two things. One is maintaining what we have. The other one is actually built for the future now. So development. How many times have we heard about rural communities struggling for access to clean waters? And that's the issue now. The issue of development, and think of it this way. Remember what I give an example of the debt yesterday of Nampower. Okay? That a billion is actually enough money to build a new power station. It's exactly the same here. We're complaining that there's no there are no water in certain rural areas. Okay, this debt directly undermines now NamWater's ability to extend maybe pipelines and build new infrastructure to serve these underserved areas. So if you don't pay. So NamPower won't have ability actually to extend its pipes, you know, its pipelines, and also now to build new infrastructure in these areas. We are responsible for what we are crying out. I just want you to see this in a different way rather than in the normal things that where we just complain, where we just actually blame, okay? Where we blame the government or where we blame NamPower for that example. But let's look at the reality as it is. It is actually us. So the inequality in water access we see today, you know, could be frozen in place or even get worse because the money to fix it is tied up in unpaid bills. Now, there's a contradiction where we're actually demanding water, you know, and sanitation in rural areas. But at the same time, we're not actually paying. It's like now, if the town council, for example, they you see that contradiction. maybe not a contradiction, but looking at it in the way that, you know, your people in the rural area are demanding, you know, are demanding their services. But they won't be able to get their services because you haven't paid the service that you needed to pay. So you are actually the one actually responsible for this service. And where do you think the government is going to get the money? Sometimes, you know, and I'm not supporting them. I'm just logically looking at how things transpire, you know, happening. I'm going to sound like a pastor today. Or maybe as NamPower representative. I just want us to see a different angle. Okay? Now, I'm talking about anger. Let's look at this from few angles. Why are the towns, why are the town councils the biggest debtor? Why are they not paying? Now, we know sometimes, because we have seen the report, maybe the auditor's report sometimes, and is it sheer incompetence? Is it sheer incompetence? Could be poor financial performance or management at the local level? Many would argue yes, incompetence and poor financial management. So now, imagine where you keep throwing money to a system or institution that is actually not producing. I think this is where now I want you to think that how, I nearly say how stupid we are, so I don't want to say that. How it's out already, so there's no way I can take that back. I said that. All right. So we see incompetence. We see poor financial management. Why are we not improving the system? Because we see this increasing. We don't see it improving. Well, some councils are notorious for poor revenue collection from their own residents. We have seen it from the south when it comes to manpower, when it comes to electricity. If you aren't collecting money from your household, from the household and business, they can't pay Namota. If they can't do that, they can't pay Namota. It becomes a vicious circle of failure. It becomes a vicious circle of failure. Or maybe it's a case of misplaced priorities. Are council using water revenue to fund other municipal services? So you know that essentially robbing Peter to pay Paul. You know, you heard that saying, you know, this would be a serious breach of fiduciary duty. They call it fiduciary duty. Yeah, it's a fiduciary duty. Yeah, if I remember those, what I have learned in the media law. So fiduciary, yeah, it's a fiduciary duty. So what that means, water payment are meant for water, you know. So once you then paid for something else, you are breaching. It's a breach of fiduciary duty. You know, where we say Peter, robbing Peter to pay Paul. You know, those were two apostles, you know. So, you see, these mispriorities, that could be one, could be the biggest, could be the cause of this. But let's look, what about the mines? That's another group. These are profitable, often international. These are even often international companies, corporations. So a 53% increase in their debt is astounding. That's a lot. Are they simply delaying payment because they can, or using that money for other, maybe that's what we're talking about, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul, or are they using that money for other operations? Knowing that cutting off the mine water, they know that you can't cut that. Cutting of mine water supply is a nuclear option that NamWater would actually be reluctant to use. And this raises a very, very, very serious questions about corporate social responsibility. So now, and we have also to look at the legal framework. Okay. What power now? Let's look at NamPower. What power does NamPower have? NamPower truly have? Does NamPower have power really? They have threatened stricter debt recovery measures. Yeah, from the report. Stricter debt recovery measures. But what does that mean really? Can they legally cut off bulk water supply to a whole town? Can NamWater do that? Can they cut off bulk water supply to the whole town? Can they do that? I'm kind of testing NamPower's power. You know, the social and economic chaos that would cause make it near impossible choice. I'm just thinking, it's impossible, you know. Just the chaos that would cause, social and economic, chaos. I think that in itself just make it near impossible, you know. So it's like a parent. You know, I'm thinking in my mind, it's like a parent threatening to take away the family car, knowing that the kids needed to get to school, you know. So that threat might be empty, you know, it might be empty because the consequences are too severe. Do you understand? It's a threat that you won't probably perform. And that's why I'm asking, what power does Namwater actually truly have? So, and that some of that threat, it might be empty because the consequences are really too severe. Okay? Now, and this touches directly on our 6th National Development Plan, which prioritizes infrastructure development and water security as a pillar of economic growth. Now, what I want you to see is this, and in a very simplistic way, this is where we want to go. Water security is a pillar of economic growth. But we seem to go, actually now, the performance, it's look like we want to go, it's going downside. So this is where we want to go, but we're going in a different direction. That's completely opposite. Eh? In reality, in our ideal mind, in what we want, we're thinking we want water security as a pillar. That's what we have in our mind. That's why I pick a question. You know? Water security is a pillar of economic growth, but the reality is absolutely, absolutely different. Eh? Now, how can we prosper if the foundation of our survival is financially crumbling? How do we prosper? Maybe it doesn't make, that's how I see it. Maybe it doesn't make any sense. Maybe it doesn't, you don't see this. This is where we want. NDP 6 is saying water security is a pillar of our economic growth. And I mean, with the report, it's a completely different direction we're moving. When your foundation is already, it's, yeah, I don't know. All right. And ultimately, it's about national security. Seriously, it's about national. Water security is every bit as important as border security. It is. You cannot have a functional economy. You cannot have a healthy citizen without a reliable water supply. As simple as that. And that's why I said, we as a nation, we as a citizen, we don't think deep. Or maybe as Kanjengo said, we don't read. As he said, next year should be a year of reading, okay? Which I support. We don't read. Eh? And therefore we don't contemplate. Then I tell you, water security is just as border security. You cannot have, we're talking about, you know, economy. You cannot have a functioning economy. You cannot have just simply a healthy nation. Eh? You can't be healthy without reliable water supply. So this is it's something serious in my mind. I mean, in what I'm thinking. So this $2.8 billion debt is a national crisis playing out in a slow motion. It is. It demanded a national conversation. It demand a national conversation. It's just like land reform or something, land issue. This also, at this point in time, it demand a national conversation. And it also demands accountability. Head should roll, man. It demands accountability from our local leaders. Yeah? So we just said, oh, they owe this much, and then what? Yeah? Then what? It also demands responsible citizen. Yeah? I think so. And it demands that we, the public, understand that when we pay our water bills to the council, we are investing in our own national security. That's what it means. Eh? If we don't, then the opposite is also true. So the opposite is also true. Yeah. Today I just want to teach you. Now, let's talk about responsibility. Let's talk about responsibility. Who is responsible for this mess? As we can see, who is responsible for this mess? Some might say the government should have intervened earlier to help struggling councils and communities. Well, so what do you think? After all, one can argue that water is a basic human right. And it's enshrined in our constitution under the right to a dignified life. Remember, it's in our constitution. But in reality, NAMWATA is a business. Okay. NAMWATA is a business. And just like any other business or any utility, it cannot afford to operate at a loss. So now, think of this also. I ask who is responsible for this mess, okay? So another part of the problem is that NAMWATA has not raised its tariff in 5 years. You know, even though operational costs have increased significantly, we talked about that. In essence, you know, the utility is trying to maintain services without charging more for them. As I said, I'm not speaking for them. I'm just logically looking at the issue here, which is not a sustainable model. That's not a sustainable model, especially when debt are mounting and inflation is creeping up. That is not a sustainable model. So, and this is where things get actually. Now, when I'm thinking it, my mind, there is a tension, if you like. Now, and I think this is where things now get a little bit tricky. Now, if tariffs are raised too high, you know, I'm kind of like contradicting myself. Now, if tariffs are raised too high, it could actually push even more people and business into non-payment. Eh? So that non-payment, if you raise it too high, people can't afford it, it actually may now push so many people and business into non-payment. Now, if the tariff remain low, well, it's good for us, but NAMWATA risks not being able to cover its cost. Now, leading to services cut. Now, NAMWATA, what that NAMWATA do is service. It will cut their services and possibly infrastructure failure. You see the tension? You see the problem, you know? What should be done? Eh? So what now? What is the solution? I'm throwing that. I'm bringing all this, you know, aspect to you. So NAMWATA themselves is calling for all customers to, including local authorities, private customers, government ministries, you know, to settle their account and at least make a payment arrangement. So in other words, timely payment today definitely would ensure a sustainable, reliable water service for tomorrow. Ideally, that would be the, you know. So they are calling that all of us, all the customers, local authority, go and pay your water. If you're a private person and you're not having paid, go and do that because you're denying our services, man. Or me. I'm denying you services. But let's be honest. Let's be honest. Can Namwater really afford to keep asking nicely? Eh? Can they continue asking nicely? Now, with this debt growing month by month, will they be forced to take more drastic action, like cutting off supplies to towns and businesses that don't pay up? Or even worse, will we face the kind of water rationing that we see in other countries facing similar issues? Yeah, we're getting there. We're definitely getting it. I mean, it's already happening in some towns. Rundi is an example. And that's not only the example, it's just that because that's what that appeared in paper. So that's already happening. You can see we're getting there, my friend. We're getting there. We're not far off. This is a point where we all need to have a conversation. Seriously. This is a point where we all need to have a conversation about what water means to us. As a country, what does water mean to us as a country? As a community? As individual? Because water security is not just Namwater's problem. This is just not Namwater's problem. It's all of our problem. All right? So, and here's what we need to remember. This is what we need to remember. Namibia's water security is at risk. It's at risk. The 2.8 billion debt hanging over Namwater is more than just numbers. This you will feel it in your pocket. It's a threat to all of us. It is a threat to all of us. It's not just Namwater's problem. So from the biggest town to the smallest village, everyone's water supply could be jeopardized. You could be paying your water, but you still actually, sometimes you may not have, the water may be cut off just because somebody didn't pay. Do you understand? If we don't tackle this issue, if we don't tackle this issue head on, and soon, we could be facing crisis. And I'm saying this, I'm talking to everybody. I'm talking to the leaders that are in town council. I'm talking to, you know, to the political leaders. I'm talking to the lawmakers. I'm talking to you, who is responsible for anything that you should be, that you are responsible for, to get this done. Even you who need to pay your bills. The message is clear, guys. If we want to ensure that our children and grandchildren have reliable water supplies, we need to take responsibility now. And that may sound like a cliche, you know, seriously. And otoka cha, I make a shiturombwera. Seriously. If we want to ensure that our children and grandchildren have a reliable water supply, we need to take responsibility now. And that's a fact. You know, and that means paying our bills. Yes, paying our bills. But it also means pushing for a better governance. You know, accountability, better management, and also long-term solutions to safeguard our future. You know? So that needs to happen. So, what do you think should be done? Let me know your thoughts. All right? Do you think we are doing enough to protect our water security? So, our telephone number, 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So, what do you think? You are now, I open up my line now. You can come through and have your say and react to this story. 08333-66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikawa shafa sana nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshi wana. Iye moya o, ota ingongoti samwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandi toma yoe, yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende kuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi paregi uimepo yomo programa letu. Moambo, dengira selma, kodara hita tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, ondiyaji. Eagle FM, so hai.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. A good morning and welcome to your favorite station, Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. Our time is about 3 minutes past the hour of nine, and we're talking about, you know, what are we talking about? We talk about the 2.8 billion, 2.8 billion money that NamWater, that is owed to NamWater. So that you owe, NamWater. And, you know, who are the culprit? You know, the usual suspect, you know, the culprit are the town council, the usual suspect on top of the list. They are the biggest offenders. And we have been looking at what could be the reasons, this is, they are the most, why they are the biggest offenders. We're talking about, you know, financial, management, incompetence, misplaced priorities, you know. So, yeah, and many, many other reasons why this could, and also could be, the other thing is, low funding to these institutions. Yeah. So that also contribute. So, and, system, maybe weaker system in the town council to enforce, a recovery, revenue recovery. So there is really, as I said, lack of competence, incompetence. That's not lack of incompetence, but what does that mean? Lack of incompetence. So incompetence. The debt continues. And that's something that we should really, really be worried about. And as I said, that should be a national conversation. It's serious. It should be a national conversation and see how do we get around this? So what do we need to do? And you are responsible. We are responsible, you know, for you not paying your water bills. You are definitely responsible. So we need to become responsible citizens. So, as I said, And the funny thing is that we may complain in terms of, there's no water in the rural, areas, eh? So we are the one who actually preventing that to happen. Very good morning. Good morning to you.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, sorry. I cannot hear. So I thought I was still getting connected. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
But your voice, it sounds so dim.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, but am I sounding like that on the radio? Am I sounding like on the app? Or just on your phone?
No. I'm standing still.
Oh, okay. Go ahead then. We can hear you, yeah.
But I might not hear you very well. I don't know what you are responding to.
All right. But you're still responding all right. Okay, let's go. Yeah.
So I am... So let me try again, because I can't really hear you.
Okay, try later also, yeah. All right, you're also actually in a place that have some winds. Am I not connected enough? I'm connected. Okay, but I can hear him very well. So yeah, those are issues. What is your take? What is your contribution on that? 08333-66091. Then the point was I'm making is that, you know, if we don't pay our bills, especially, I'm not talking as just individual town council, rural water communities, you know, and mines. And that should be very something. That's also something that we need to, you know, seriously talk about. So we the development that we want, the universal access of water that we want, that we are the problem to that if we are not paying our dues. Yeah? So where do we honestly now, where do we think the NAMWATER would get the money to do that, to improve the infrastructure, to develop new infrastructure? And where do we think the government would just get money somewhere? And, you know, I think we have to be somehow responsible. But there's also an issue that I raised where to say, look, if we increase the tariff, it may become as a problem. So where now, even business and individual, you may not be able to afford, you know, the reason that non-payment because of the tariffs are higher. Okay? The bills are higher. So, but if it's also low, you know, then it's also a problem to NAMPOWER. They may not be able, NAMPOWER then be not be able actually to, will not be able to do what they need to do. Okay? They won't have then the ability to be able to do what they need to do. They need their money. So we have to find a solution to that. All right? So what is your take? What is your, you know, your opinion? Because this is, as I said, this has to be a national conversation. It has to become a national conversation, because it has a dire consequences. It has a water security, you know, for the nation. And if we leave it in the hands of some people, look where it get us. If we leave it in the hands of just, the town council actually dealing with that, look where it get us. You know, we have sometime, we have, you know, incompetent personnel in some position that get us in trouble. And once we get there, you are in there. So if you just leave it up to them, okay. So once you get there, you will have no water. You will be start rationing water just because you let it. You are not responsible enough to make, you know, to speak out or to, you know, or to take that responsibility. Okay. 08333-66091. That's the number you can call in the studio here in Ondangwa, and we're coming to you live. All right. So 08333-66091. All right. So I know Friday is one of those. It's one of those days where we go slowly, and I understand. But we're gonna give you this information. You know what we do. It's not just that we want you to hear you and what your opinions are, but we also have to bring you this this information and the way you have to look at some of the issues in the country, you know, and discuss that in your in your home. Talk to you, talk to your father, talk to your mother, talk to your husband, talk to your wife. We aren't paying water. Do you know what the cause and effect that we're talking about that I was talking earlier? Do you know what the consequences of that? Oh, no, I don't know, Annie. Yeah. The reason why there's no pipeline going to the rural, to the rural village is because we haven't paid our water. We haven't paid our bills. And NamPower doesn't have money to do that. All right? Yeah. So let's get into the face of our leader in the council, in our... Why aren't we go to them? Go to them. If you find that your water has been cut off, as a resident of a certain town, go to them and ask why. Why aren't you paying? Why aren't you? I have paid. I can go there. You go and said, I have paid. Why I don't have water? Why haven't you paid? Yeah? Why can't you go after those who are not paying? Find a way, find a system that works. There are those that, and I have paid. You disadvantage me. Man, it's not that I haven't come. It didn't mean that I haven't come to work without showering. So I'm just saying, all right? So 08-08-333-66-091, what do you think? What is your take on that story of NamPower being owed to $2.8 billion hanging over NamWaters, So yeah. That's the story. That's how and what do you think should be done? So what do you think should be done? Yeah, give me a call.
Very good morning.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
How are you?
Good, good.
You can hear me, mate. Can you hear me well?
I hear you.
Clear. Oh, okay, good. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Even on the radio, on the app, everything is
okay.
Normal, yeah.
Yeah, what do you think?
NamPower, NamWater. Yeah. No. Those SOE companies, they are expecting to make more money because of the administration.
Yeah.
And you cannot make money out of buying and resell. You are packaging something from somebody and then you are expecting to make millions of dollars. That will never be happening in the world of business.
Yeah.
The
amount of, what are we repackaging, in terms of, I'm thinking I went quickly to NamPower, but I'm, NamWater.
Yes. NamWater.
In terms of NamWater, yeah.
Yeah, in terms of NamWater, NamWater is look like it's a manufacturer.
Yeah.
That one they can make money out of it.
Exactly. Mm.
Yeah, but the issue here is not really making money in a long term, because remember their investment is a long term thing. It's going with the years of the machinery that they are buying. Let's just say the machinery can work for 50 years. They are expecting also to making money out of 50 years.
Yeah.
Which means in the profit that they're getting is in a year, it's too little. But so,
Are we too reluctant? So that's a, for example, are we too reluctant because this is a government machinery? Let's take, for example, town council, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Are we too reluctant to push them, even to close the water for the town councils or for the towns? Is it because that has political consequences or social and political consequences?
Not really. Mm. The management is the one that is expecting that they are learning a public service as a private profitable company.
Mm.
Because if you look at the water, They don't buy water.
Yeah.
They just having the facilitator, which is a machinery, to pumping that water.
Mm.
So for them now, they wanted to run that company as they're running Nampower, which is now you are putting more profit on something that is you don't really, as I said, it's a long term to buying that machine. It's going to last for 20 to 30 years. Yeah. If you look at in the for example, Okaluheke pumping machine.
Yeah.
It came on 1976, right, up to today. So that is a long term we are talking about. Yeah. So,
their whole revenue depend on the sales of water. So without our paying, there are subsidy from the government, of course, but
I don't agree on that because this is a national services.
Yeah.
You cannot telling people that because you don't paying the service, we are not giving water. That's why the government are coming in.
Yeah.
As they tracing money somewhere to funding them water. Remember when it was introduced in 1996, water road development, which is the government are paying 50% on top of the investment that they are there.
But the government expected that they are sustainable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is what now we have a problem here because you are increasing tariff.
Yeah.
Out of nothing. Mm. You understand? Mm. Because you are increasing the workers. You are telling the people that because of the workers that I'm having, according to the demand of increasing of the village council, town council and what, and the population increase. So I need also to increase in the tariff.
Mm.
So no, that is not the reason for you to increase in water and making it very expensive. No, it doesn't work like that. Because the dam that the water that is wasting or the one that you are capturing, you are not buying it.
That's true.
You understand?
Yeah.
So now the people...
Maybe the chemicals are too expensive, yeah.
No. Even the chemicals are too expensive, Mike. It cannot work like that.
Mm.
Because the most important thing is a running tech. You understand?
Yeah.
Not the chemicals and what. No, the chemicals, you are dropping one. And you are waiting maybe for a mask. Because remember those storage that you are having. You know the capacity of it that you can supply up to 2 months without refill it. So those one, you know it already that the money you're putting is maybe 100 or 200,000.
Yeah.
So a month. But if you look at their profit, even they're making 2.1 because they are on top of the SOE in terms of the profit, government profit.
Yeah.
Namwata is at top end with 2.1 billion. So for that reason now, the increasing of this tariff is the one that is making people not to pay. Because remember, I cannot pay something that is not profiting me.
But Namwata hasn't increased that for 5 years.
No, it cannot increase because of, as I said, the dam and the capturing water.
Yeah.
It's still the same. Mm. And the machine, you bought it long back. You didn't bought it in a new machine since 2020.
Yeah.
And you want to tell people that I want to increase. Increasing on what? Because you didn't buy a new machine. You are just hiring new people, which they are also paid by the according to the budget of the annually budget, you understand?
Mm.
Not from your profit, you understanding that? So those are the things that we don't understand. We are just milking people out of something that we don't understand it.
Yeah.
So those are the problem. It's different from Nampower, who is buying somewhere, which you can even come up with an excuse of saying, now the electricity in South Africa, it's also scarce because of the population increase in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
The demand is too high in South Africa, and we are depending in South Africa. The price that they are putting on the table is the only that you can take. And for this reason, we are also increasing or advising people to taking another way of getting electricity.
Yeah.
For example, renewable energy and other stuff like generators and all of that.
Mm.
That one is advisable for NAMPOWER to come up. But NAMWATER, to be honest, I was even engaging with one that day after yesterday, who is talking the failure of the is a also crop farming, who is saying the failure of Nagatara Dam,
yeah,
is because of the water pump that is very expensive. I cannot giving back my 30% of profit to the water pumping.
Yeah.
No. While the water is, it was rained there. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So they put in a lot of money. That's why people are not applying that land of Nagatara Dam. And this is the reason, even in Okavango region,
yeah,
people are complaining about the water. The water are coming a few meters, but the price is high.
Yeah.
You understand? Those are the problems that we cannot say people are not paying because of the water, because of ignoring that. No,
yeah, yeah,
they're paying because the tariff is too high.
Mm.
And they don't see the value of that investment. Serious.
Yeah.
Because that is how now. You cannot judging because of the increasing of the population or the fast development of new village council and all of that. No. That is a discussion between you and the government. What are we going to do? How are we going to fund it? Because this is now the cabinet decision.
Mm.
To say they are responsible now that the increasing of the population is high. So what are, the budget that you are giving to NAMPOWER is not enough to sustaining those water supply. You understand?
Yeah. Mm.
That is how, not for their board to making a decision that let's increase the tariff. No. Those companies that you are mentioning, like mining and they are also indirect supporting the government.
Yeah.
But there is somebody who is milking them instead of the government. No, some things, because if you're reading the profitable thing, or look at the company that is buying and sell, they're not making millions of dollars. They are not on the list of the billionaire companies.
Yeah.
Or trillionaire companies. No, their manufacturers, they are the one. But when NAMPOWER is one of them, to make it cheaper, they will get in services. To make it expensive, they will not supply those areas which is, they don't have.
Because nobody can afford it. Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Because for you now, if you are saying the machine, I bought it for 7 million, but you submitting the invoice of 7 million to the government, while they know that this machine is costing about 500 in China. How now? For the sake of the profit. And that is what is running by Municipality of Windhoek.
Yeah.
And they don't look at the service that they are giving. They look at the population that they are connected with.
Yeah.
You see now?
Mm.
Those are the problems we have in this country. You don't learn the public company as you are learning a profitable company.
Yeah.
No, there is totally different thing when it comes to NAMPOWER.
NAMWATER. Mm.
Yeah, there is totally different from any company. That's why it's on the first, it's on the list if you're asking who is a SOE profitable company that are adding the government investing in terms of getting back the return. That is the first company popping it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the NAM, if you look at now NAMPOWER, comparing with the road authority. Road authority was supposed to make millions of dollars also.
Mm.
But because of the tariff that they are controlling, they don't making money. because they are making money in the long term.
Yeah, and how, because water security is now in NDP6, it's a pillar of economic growth. And how can we now prosper if the foundation of our survival is actually in financial crumble?
Mm. You know, those are the problem. Yeah.
Mm.
Because them, they don't look at how they are not to consider to increase their services.
Yeah.
No, because they give an excuse to the government that people are not paying. You cannot make land, for example, those municipalities that are owing the number water or number story. The public are using the toilet, or the office of the government are using water for free,
yeah,
because of the visiting the offices. You are visiting the hospital, you are using more water. You are visiting the home affairs, you are using more water. Mm. You see that?
Yeah.
So those are the national things I'm talking about. That is what they needed to consider. That's what the government in 1996, when Nyoma was a part of the national water supply, he discussing with that NamWater, for you now here, the responsible for the 50 million that you are getting from the budget, or 50% that you are getting from the budget, is to supply the water.
Mm.
And the maintenance, it comes from us. You understand?
Mm.
So the people, they are expecting to pay few. I think it was 20% of that.
Yeah.
Because of the maintenance only. Not to paying the supply or water supply. No. But they are abandoning it because they want to make money out of it.
All right.
Which is not. All right, my mind.
All right. Thanks for coming through.
You're welcome.
Mm. Oh, wait, 333-66-091. Oh, wait, 333-66-091. So we're talking about 2.8 billion dollar debt as a national crisis, you know, for our water utility. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bon dia, familia.
Bon dia, como está?
Bom, obrigado. Estou ali, meu primo, minha família.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So how are you?
Well? I've been fine, thanks.
I'm okay.
Okay.
Mm.
The water and electricity, these kind of these two things.
Yeah. Today we're focusing much more on water, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, in water.
Yeah, because they are owed 2.8 billion, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. But something is fishy going on there. But we are happy.
Mm.
The more you speak about it, the more they get scared. The more they those who are benefiting from it, they go down.
Yeah.
If you don't talk about it, they think you are happy. You are not happy.
Yeah.
Water is a basic need. Where in the earth, you'll find you are paying water like you are paying. I don't know. You know. It's totally confusing and totally embarrassing.
Mm.
And if this go on like this, until where are we leading to?
Yeah.
You know, you have the nation, and you are linked to water. Without water, you'll die. But the water you are selling it is like your number one priority to make money. No, it should not be like that.
Yeah, I think the other issue is that if you want manufacturing, for example.
Yeah.
And investors that are looking at their prices of water. Okay, let's hold on quickly. There's a commercial coming up, and then we continue.
Imbaya riri ombwa nai etetwa weda ko ombuni kire ombe ombi hukusha njiviro yoye iriri ombupu o hatane na wina ikare no mafa kumurungu wa indu wali rongere kusha umune ondengu wakura kwa imba una ovyu nerea peke po londola mirongo itatu na hambu umwe mumwezi po kwika ovinki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva o peresente dano kumyeve itatu moshimariva o peresente umurongo kumyeve hambu umwe moshimariva o peresente umirongo ivari na dano Mwede umurongo na ivari moshimarifu. Itoolore na ondengu, zima yu umgura na wakove na wina onyano kipe. Ashi esho imba, ye kupe oshimariva sisu hina omarifiro.
Imba o maoronga neno owe uha kainina, itako na wina rishangita jinon.
All right, yeah. Are you
yes.
there? Yeah, no.
Yes,
I was just saying, if you are an investor and you are thinking of actually putting up a manufacturing plant or so, or a processing, you know, plant. So, and looking at how much actually the water cost, you think twice before you do that. And that actually goes against what we what the government want to achieve. It's kind of like, as I said earlier, Afrika koshita italondako, you know? So at one point we say this is what we want to achieve, and at the and on the other side, we actually destroying that by how we're performing, you know?
You know, even if you get, we just got back, né, to the last caller.
Yeah.
He's mentioned something very important. But think about Okaluheke, where that water is coming from Angola. How much they are paying?
Yeah.
Why should we, Oshakati, paying so much, so high, if you don't buy this water for free? And in Windo, we are drinking water from this, from raining water. I think we have 3-4 boreholes which are supplying these big companies. But the most source of our water is from the rain. How much they are paying to Jesus? Oh, shit. How much they are paying to Jesus to say, okay, thank you, Jesus. No, things should be changed to our water should not be like something you to make a business.
Yeah.
This is a life situation, life issues.
It's a constitutional right, man. It's a right.
Yes, it's my right. I must drink water because I'm here. I'm linked to this water, but you make it their own business now. If you follow up, I think it was last year, before Menetumbo come to reduce the price of the electricity in the municipality. You heard about that story, né? I think it was last year.
Reducing what?
She reduced the price. The price of the electricity went higher. And everybody was pissed off. Electricity.
Yeah, the tariff just went higher.
Went higher. Everybody went crazy. No, why people should pay so high? And she went in. Mm. When we went in and reduced the price. No, guys, it's too much. You are killing our people. And the history went out after a few days in the newspaper to say, this is you are talking to a machine. How can you teach the machine? You know, it's like they create a system to control. Just why, if you take Wambo, you close your house. When you come back, you're still paying 10,000. Who was bathing? Which elephant was bathing in my house if my house was closed? And how many people lose their house because of this water and electricity?
Yeah.
You know? I just want to go back to the last caller. What he say, you know, we must just pick up from there. Mm-hmm. How much we are paying the water from Galuheke, from Angola to Namibia? Mm-hmm. How much you are paying the water from this dam in Windhoek here? How much you are paying to Jesus? Why you are killing us in this? Why you make it your business? No, Natale Pongwana wapuka kwe, ratu moni huna man.
Yeah.
Thank you, my brother.
All right, man. Have a great one. Have a great weekend. 0833-66091. Issue of water. And how do we get, actually, how then water get into this massive 2.8 billion debt? And, of course, we know the main culprit is our town councils, the very one we pay our money to. Yeah, what do you think? You know, 0833-66091, 0833-66091. Coming to you live from the Ondango studio, I'm Mike Osavelli. All right, we'll be back and probably get into the second story if no one comes through.
Omudiha kutekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikawa shafasa na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moya o ota ingongoti samwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina kara omupashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu moambo dengira selma konora hita tuimu datundatu heari jamano talo o niyaji Eagle FM the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Well, etitana kwa shivike, omafiku erion longon omwoyi, omwedi o December, o video taiti kucha 36 minutes past the hour of 9, and you are
just tuning in, you are on, you are tuning Unpacking the Day. So good morning to you. This is where we don't just, you know, we don't just tell you what happened. We help you understand what it really means. All right. So today, big news, big numbers, big hopes. So Namibia just got the green light. Namibia just got a green light for 30.3 billion dollars. That's a Namibian dollar. 30.3 billion Namibian dollars. Which one comes first? Is it Namibian dollar or billion? 30.3 billion Namibian dollars. Okay, I got it. Okay, that's about 1.78 US dollar. You know, that's 1.78 billion US dollars. Am I drunk or what? Yeah. Now, all right, don't worry. Yeah, and this is from the African Development Bank. This is coming from the African Development Bank. This comes under the newly adopted country strategy paper, the CSP, for the period of 2025 to 2030. It's a period of 5 years. So now, which aims to drive, the country's economy diversification and growth over the next 5 years, which definitely this also include what we're talking about, water, infrastructure. You know, there is this money. It's also including that component or that priority. So, okay. A quick recap quickly. Last week, the African Development Bank, the FDB, approved what is called the country strategy paper. Okay. The country strategy paper for Namibia. Now, that basically a roadmap. That's basically a roadmap. A 5 year plan for 2025 to 2030. And with it, comes now a commitment of 1.78 billion US dollars. And which is actually about 30.3 billion Namibian dollars in funding. Okay. So now, well, this money is not for one single project. No, it's a menu. It's kind of like a buffet, you know, if you like. So of opportunities, it's a buffet of opportunity. We can call it a buffet of opportunity. I wish I can speak French. Probably that would sound much, much better. So it's a buffet of opportunity. It's going into infrastructure, skills training, clean energy, water that we're talking about, and support for small business, especially those run by women and young people. So you can see it's really a buffet of opportunities. So the Namibian government is celebrating the Ministry of Finance, saying this is a strategic financial instrument. Yeah? It's a strategic financial instrument that would help really unlock, and they say it would help unlock even more money from other donors and private investors. So far, so good. But we are not stopping at the headlines. Huh? Let's not stop at the headlines. Let's unpack this. Okay? So we still have about 20 minutes to go. And remember, if you want to contribute to our first stories, you're most welcome to come through as well. Now, maybe the question that we need to ask is this. Why is the Africa Development Bank so eager to invest in Namibia? So why it's happening now? Well, so first and foremost, timing is matter, you know? And timing is matter. And let's be honest, yeah? Namibia's economy hasn't been doing well. We haven't been doing really well. You know, since 2012, our average income per person has dropped, you know, per capita, you know, per person has dropped from over 101,000 to around 72,000 today. So that is mathematics. That's about 30% less in your pocket, you know, if you spread it across all of us, you know. So 30% drop. Now, and we talk about the youth unemployment. Talk about the youth unemployment. You know, still stuck over 40%. And that is about two out of every young people without a job. And that's a ticking time bomb, as someone would say. So, and at the same time, as I said, Namibia is being hit from all sides. We're being really from all sides. Remember recently those U.S. Change tariff that not only Namibia but other countries have to go through, meaning our export like meat and fish are suddenly facing higher taxes. So and some donors also, the USA, there was also stories of some donors are cutting back aid. You know, there's so many things. Yeah? So the country is really, 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 really under pressure, and we need growth. We need growth. We need jobs. We need change. Yeah? We need change. And that's where now the African Development Bank steps in. All right? So that's why they now stepping in. The funding isn't about charity. So it's not about, okay, you guys, we see that you're really suffering. And okay, we're here to rescue you. We are your Jesus. Yeah. Now we're going to rescue you. No. It's not about charity. It's about strategy. Yeah. Yeah. For them, I know, even for developing bank, for African development, it's a strategy. It's about strategy for them. Investing in Namibia make a sense. It makes sense. And you want to know why it makes sense? Because Namibia, you know that we have, this money is all about. It's that buffet opportunities. So energy is one of them. So as I said, why it makes sense? This invest makes sense. One, because Namibia has sun, has wind, and a relatively stable democracy. You know, we have that relatively stable democracy. And if we can fix it now, you see, now this guy has money. The guy we call the FDB, you know, the African Development Bank. This guy has money. He said if these guys can fix their infrastructure and skills gap, you understand? If they can fix their infrastructure and skills gap, you know, they could become really a really hump for Southern Africa. So, and especially under now African Continental Free Trade Area. So that's what they see, that there's that opportunity, you know, for us really to become a real hump, as we desire, as we're talking about it, for Southern Africa, especially under the African Continental Free Trade Area. So yes, this is for them it's partly generosity, but it's also smart business. All right, it's also a very smart business. Now, all right. So where is the money going? Okay, you want to know where the money is going. What is this money for? Because this is not, as I said, it's not a charity. It's a loan. A loan is, it's just, it's, it's debt, just like any other debt. Yeah. So now the Africa Development Bank has two main priorities for Namibia from 2025 to 2030. Two main ones. All right. This is where the money is going. This is where they want the money to go. But if we choose, but we may always remember we're talking about misplacing priorities. We have a habit. Namibia, we have a habit actually of misplacing priorities. So, but the reasons why the developing bank, African development giving us money, it's because of the promises of two things, the main priorities for Namibia. So which they are funding, which they said, this is what we are funding. Now, first is infrastructure. And as I said, you know, we have a habit of misplacing. It's like, you know, you go and ask the loan from the bank. Yeah, yeah, you have a nice paper that indicated what you're going to do. And then, you know, this is what I'm going to do. The next things, you use that money to eat your Kentucky's. Now you use that money, now you're eating it for Kentucky and whatever, buying their Maroc or what? Or GTI, if you are a Kwaito. So, yeah. So we have a habit of misplacing. Good morning.
Yes, morning, Mike. I think we can hear each other now.
Now you can hear me now?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Good.
Yes, thank you very much for the topic and the opportunity given unto me.
Yeah.
The issue of water and all these other things and the debt. Yes, it's fine. And I know very well that there are also some deficiencies in the system.
Yeah.
Of payment and things like that. Like you are saying, that it's also our constitutional obligation to pay for the service. Yeah, despite the fact that, yes, there could be some lot of factors. Maybe the inability or whatever, or just maybe caused by the deficiencies in the system itself. So those things have been happening, and they are happening, and people might not have the necessary skills to negotiate through with town council and cities and things like that. That burden is actually put on the shoulder of the growth management. But apart from that, there are also serious issues, because I know the water is subsidized. Maybe the reluctance for us from the masses to pay, those who are well able to pay and are not hindered because of the deficiencies, because the water can be cut off just innocently, and the electricity. That has happened. I have got experience of this nature, and just because of the system.
Mm.
And somebody has to come in. Somebody has to come in now and make sure that we really negotiate on behalf of the those people.
Yeah.
So if you cannot negotiate, because you are finding the legal personnel there, the legal people who can really do, who can really do a lot of work.
Mm.
But then, if they are not there to negotiate, they'll just tell you, if you don't do this, I'll cut off your water. Sometimes they don't even negotiate. But what we are saying is that the government has got some mechanism to assist us. But we should also then leverage on this thing. The water supply in general, if you see now the pipes, the big pipes that have gone to Ruakana from Oshakati and all those things, and I'm sure very soon they'll be connected.
Yeah.
And you remember the African Development Bank, who is also now funding that. So we were also told very soon, recently, that they identified the area where we have got sort of those skills.
Yeah. So, Uncle Bonner, I don't want to cut you off. That's where I only have 10 minutes. That's where I want to finish that. Sorry for that. Okay.
So, yeah, because I was waiting for all those people that have spoken for so many times, for a long time. But anyway, I can't.
No, I don't understand. That's why I'm apologizing to you. God bless you. All right, great. All right. Yeah. So I just want to finish this with the time that I have quickly, because it's also very important. All right. So, you know, this, as I said, the developing band have two priority, have two main priorities for Namibia. Now, this is a plan for 2025 to 2030. So first is infrastructure, you know, that, that's road, railway, energy, water, the water that we're talking about. So right now, only about 59.5% of Namibians have access to electricity. 59.5. So that means four out of 10 homes, if my math are correct, four out of 10 homes still depend on candles, still depend on paraffin, still depend on, well, solar, if they are lucky, you know, if they are lucky. And in rural area, it is even worse. So it is even worse. So this funding aims now to push us towards universal electricity access. So that's why the African Development Bank said, okay, we're going to give you money, because this is what you, this is where you want to go. So they give that money. And a big part of that, is then a renewable energy. Okay. Wind and solar, which we have in plenty. So Namibia has some of the best solar and resources in the world. So why are we then still have to import power? So this money should be able actually to help, to be able to push toward that universal, electricity access. So, and also think about the port of Wavish Bay. Now, the last round, okay, the last round of Africa, the Africa Development Bank funding actually helped us actually to expand it. We expanded the port of Wavish Bay. The money actually came from a development bank of the African Development Bank. Now, you have got good, that good from Zambia, from DRC, and even from Uganda. Using now the port, you know, we have now improved, we have large enlarged it, we expanded it. So now this money goes into our pocket, you know. So now this new funding now, yeah, this new funding now want to go further. So improve now is also then improve railway that actually link us now to this country, like link up with Angola and Zambia. And that the idea is then as actually to lower transport cost, you know, if we have to improve, say for example, improve our railways, and that's linking up us with Angola or Zambia. So that would, the idea then would be lowering our transport costs as well in terms of, you know, that's where now the African Development see, okay, is this the idea? So we're going to support you this, okay? So we give you this fund for that. The second part, the second priority is a human capital, people, you know. So the African Development Bank wants to invest in skills, especially technical and vocational training. So not just degrees on the walls, all right? Yeah, not just those degrees on the walls. You know, some of those degrees we have now. Nowadays, there are some degrees that are becoming irrelevant, honestly. So, yeah, not just degrees on the wall. They want, but skills. They want skills that match the job market. You remember how many times we have heard, there are no jobs, there are no jobs, but also, no, we can't find skills, and we can't find skilled workers. You see, there are no jobs, but also, we can't find skilled workers. Now, the gap is where this money now want to step in. You see, they want to actually the skill that match the job market. Okay? So that we don't, in 5 years' time, in 2 years' time, we're not crying, yeah, there are no job, but again, we can't find skilled workers. Now, we're preparing skills that match the job market. That's the whole idea. And of course, it's also targeting the MSMEs, you know, micro, small, and medium enterprises. These are the sponsor shops, the tailors, the welders, the young people stand, you know, who are actually having startups or starting up. So, yeah, there's also focus on that and women, and especially now for young people and business that are run by women. So they create, we know that, you know, this micros, the micro, small and medium enterprises, these create most of the jobs in Africa. So this create most of the jobs in Africa, but they struggle to get finance, to get training, to get access to market. So now this package promises to support them. On a paper, well, the money will come in on the paper. This is what it support. It's support to practice, to support them. We need to see that in practice, though. As I said, we have a tendency of, you know, misplacing the priorities. So the package promises to support them, and very importantly, women and youth will be prioritized. So far, that sounds great. That sounds great, but here is the reality check. So let's look at some, you know, reality check. The money is coming through. All right, that the money will come. That money is coming. So, but as I said, we have had promises before, and you can't blame us for being cautious, you know. Now, you can't blame any Namibian who is being really cautious and skeptical, you know, because we have had promises before. And over past 10 years, the African Development Bank already gave Namibia about 11.2 billion, 11.2 billion Namibian dollars. And where did it go? Well, some has been, you know, even the one we were talking about, the port of Walvis Bay expanded, you know, the expansion of the port of Walvis Bay. That's good. That was money from the African Development Bank. So railways, we also, that amount of money, 11.2 billion, was also meant upgrading railways. Maybe there were some upgrading here and there, but it was not fully. The link to Zambia, and it's still not complete. That's still not complete. Yeah. And within that, there was also 27 educational institutions improved. Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. But how many schools are still without facilities? Facilities like labs, libraries. We are talking about water. Even I'm talking about just basic needs, even reliable water. Talking about facility, we're talking even about overcrowding, you know. So, yeah. So there has been when we asking this kind of question, we're looking at the history, at the record, at the record that we hold. So yes, progress, but also slow progress. Okay? So we have to acknowledge, yes, progress, but also slow progress. Slow progress, bureaucracy, delays, you know, a project stuck in planning. Eh? We some planning takes years and years. Eh? And here is the real question. Can the government then deliver on this new dream? Okay? So, because the 30 billion dollars means nothing if it's wasted. Eh? It could be wasted like many other money that we got. It could be wasted because of wasted into priorities that are not worthwhile, that are not making any difference in people's life. So that amount of money could mean nothing if it's wasted, if it's mismanaged, and if it's siphoned off as well. Eh? So we have seen big projects like the desalination plant or the railway that we're talking about face delays, faced cost overruns, you know, corruption allegations. So, and who controlled this money? The question is, so who controlled this money? The developing money, the African development says it is a grant or loans or technical help, but most of it will flow through government ministries. This money will go through the government ministries, and we all know how slow and political that can be. Yeah, we know that. So, yeah. The other thing is the money enough. I'm gonna quickly transfer this to France. Just hold on for a few minutes. Is it enough? Now, my question of asking is enough. Namibia's National Development Plan, NDP 6 says we need at least 500 billion over 5 years actually to fix our infrastructure and economy. 500 billion. Now, this FDB package now, that is just six, that's actually just about 6% of what we need. 6% of what we need. So yes, it's a start, of course. I mean, we can't just dismiss that. It's a start, but not a full solution, really. So, yeah. Well, let's maybe look a stop here, and so we could have a look at who is going to benefit and all that. So because of time, so let's end up here for now. So yeah, that's the package that coming from the African Development Bank, and let's hope that, you know, as the whether we going to use it properly. Actually, the whole thing is that just to end this is that, you know, the next few years we will be critical, and we as the nation, which is that we're asking, we need to stay engaged in how this money is spent and how it impacts our lives. We need to see that money impacting definitely our life. What do you think about this funding deal? Will it change things for you? Well, discuss that. Have a conversation wherever you are, in your community, in your office, in your wherever you are. So that brings us to the end of today's episode. So let's see, let's do this again on Monday, at the same time here on Eagle FM. So I leave you in a very capable hand of Okamati Koka Pofi, Ngashmene Heli Fana, Tata France, coming up with Kutha Mosha, and have a great weekend. So until tomorrow, I'll talk to you around 11 to 1 o'clock on Mind Matters. My name is Mike Oshaveli. Have a great weekend.